WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel and Special Operations Communities, and DTRA as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Okay. Today is Friday, end of the week, first week of May, Raiklin Report, last day of the week. And today we have day two of our continuing series, it looks like it's going to be, about our focus into New Hampshire. So for those that are not aware, there was an event on October 13th of 2021 where the baby governor, Chris Sununu, because remember, his father used to be the governor of New Hampshire, and his father used to be the chief of staff for George H.W. Bush during his presidency. Anyway, his son, meaning Papa Sununu's son, baby Sununu, or kiddo Sununu, his name is Chris Sununu, is now the governor. And for context, you got to remember, Chris Sununu, a Republican, was reelected, right, for governor, and yet also the House and State Senate, okay, was Republicans took over and flipped the House and Senate at the state level from Democrat control to Republican control. So at the bottom of the ticket, Republicans won. At the middle of the ticket, Republicans won. At the higher middle tier of the ticket, the governor Republican won. But at the top of the ticket in the 2020 election, guess what? The 4 presidential electors that New Hampshire transmitted to Mikey Pence as the presiding officer were none other than 4 electoral votes that were transmitted to support the Chinese Communist Party ambassador to the United States, who's now squatting in the White House, Joseph Robinette Gieden. You may ask why that is. Well, maybe our next guest is going to help us frame and identify why that is and what are they doing to people that are trying to expose the corruption that occurred in the 2020 election. And then subsequently from that, why was it that when Mikey Pence started off the COVID, or what they call the COVID task force, CCP-19 task force, and then later on, the CDC wanted to bribe the governor of New Hampshire, but they had to vote for that bribe to receive it through official channels in order to be able to violate the sovereignty of New Hampshire, to basically relinquish it to the federal government, and then in order to violate the freedoms of children and members within New Hampshire, I guess, voting class related to COVID. So that may be broad, but we're going to go into details of what that looked like. So let's bring in our next guest for her to explain what was going on. Ma'am, thank you for coming in. So
Thank you, Ivan, for having me. It's such an honor. And just thank you for your service and your activism for this country and this republic and for my boys and our children. I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
I mean, it's likewise. So I only like to platform guests that are actually fighting for the cause, and you're definitely one of them. So for those, I didn't give it justice. Please introduce yourself, your background, and then how you became one of New Hampshire's 9. And my role here, if you know, as we converse over the next 30 minutes, is to kind of see if we can frame it and nest it with the government corruption at the New Hampshire state level and how it links back to the national level on why you are one of the political targets of the New Hampshire Nine.
Sure. So in short, you know, my dad grew me up on Rush Limbaugh, but I kind of took a career path of becoming a registered nurse. I was actually in finance before 9/11. Ended up being a foster mom, adopting my 2 boys out of DCYF care, and really aware of the dysfunction in DCYF and what was going on with our children. We had had a federal audit here where our DCYF closed 1,400 counts in our children's charts within 24 hours. And so I was really just all in when it came to what was going on with our kids going to residential homes, no oversight, the abuse, what they were telling us as they were aging out of the system. And then came COVID and the pandemic. And here I am, a nurse, and my coworkers, my colleagues are losing their entire livelihood, their retirement, their health care for their family, because they were not comfortable putting something into their body that they didn't feel had been well tested yet, or they were already COVID recovered and knew that they had the antibodies.
Now, and that's if I may just briefly interject, on our show, we use the terms myocarditis makers, heart exploders, DNA mutilation injections. In a more, I guess, passive way, they're called emergency use authorized unsafe and ineffective DNA manipulators. Is that some of the terminology that you've known to use over the last couple of years?
I would agree with all of those things at this point in time. Okay. You know, I have had a huge awakening in the last 2 years as just to how evil can be. And, you know, seeing it firsthand from people in the ICU who are not getting nutrition, and seeing the children that are in state custody, and just the amount of money that's coming through and going to out-of-state contractors and not getting to the veteran who's under the bridge, freezing cold in the rain and hungry. And the reality is there's more than enough money to take care of the disenfranchised. And, you know, the Lord kind of brought me to this place of awareness, where I stood outside the hospital and said, you know, this isn't okay that my friends are losing their entire career and healthcare is already so broken, we can't afford to lose more staffing. And that just, the Lord took me on a journey from there, that I live 6 miles from the Capitol here in Concord. And there's been so many people who've been deeply, deeply rooted in New Hampshire's politics for so long that have come alongside of me and showed me I'm a very much a fact person. The Lord blessed me with a job where I'm on call overnight, so I have working business hours available, and I have time where a lot of people don't have time to understand what's going on. And I just made a decision, like Isaiah 6:8, Lord, here I am, use me. And he has. This last 2 years, he has put me in places that I would have never imagined me being in. But you know what? This is our republic. This is our country. And this is a time to be bold and courageous. And he put me in project management for 10 years before I switched into nursing and the healthcare field. And I'm recycling all those skills all over again, because the thing is, everyone knows it's broken. Everyone knows the corruption. Everyone knows the parties have been infiltrated. There's no oversight. New Hampshire is the belly of the beast. We have $960 billion with a B, of dollars here that have no regulatory oversight over them whatsoever. And I firmly believe that's why Epstein's other half was found here. And then you've got the Sununu Center with all the kids that were being abused, and you've got the cartels coming through here, and it's just a hot mess. And those of us that have unraveled the ties to Shaheen, the money, Epstein, and these things, and I've never paid attention to any of the QAnon. I was never a rabbit trail kind of girl. I am a science and numbers.
So let's kind of focus in on that. You introduced your background. What I want to focus in on for this show is if you could kind of briefly describe the run up to October 13th of 2021. So you got to remember there, you know, the illegal election was conducted. The certification was illegally conducted in January. And then the criminal prosecution started to happen as it relates to that people that were exposing it. And then also you had the medical tyranny component. So talk us through in the run up to October 13th and then what happened on that day in 2021.
Sure. So there was a call to action by a Liberty group here in New Hampshire called Rebuild New Hampshire for this money that our executive council, which is very unique to New Hampshire, instead of a lieutenant governor, we actually have 5 elected officials called executive council members. And they meet every 2 weeks with the governor, and they have to vote on anything over, I believe it's $10,000 expenditures. So in that room every 2 weeks, about $500 million goes flying through, and people there that have their hands out. They were going to be voting on $27 million, and it was COVID relief fund money. But someone had read the actual details of that grant, and it actually stated, if you are to accept these funds, you will be obligated at any point in time to isolate and quarantine anyone the federal government, Biden and Harris, deem a health hazard. And at the same time, during that point in time, we had people in Australia that were being put in quarantine camps. And I remember hearing a young man say, "America, please stand up. Like, we never not trusted our government, and we're in dire, like, you guys need to stand up. This is the last bastion of freedom." And they were doing a call to action. Everyone, you know, this is not okay. We, of course, we want our hard-earned money to come back to us and to take care of the disenfranchised, but we don't want it to come back with strings attached to isolate and quarantine. So, of course, that was something I decided to go and participate in. I let everyone I knew in my sphere of influence, emails, texts, phone calls, let's call them, let's tell them, let's email them, and let's show up. And I brought about 300 people to Rebuild that knew me through my work life, through my career, clinicians. And he was actually, Governor Sununu actually went onto my personal Facebook page and bantered with me until 2 a.m. He actually left me a voicemail, "Can we get together and talk this out?" Because he did not like the fact that people who had never been engaged in politics were now starting to really question what is going on. We have a Republican governor. I had voted for him, House and, you know, Senate. Like, what is going on? How is this that people are losing their businesses, their jobs, our schools, the shutdowns? Like, so yeah, that's how I ended up there on October 13th. And
so you went there with the intention to do what on October 13th? And just be careful on what you say, because obviously the way I understand this is that as we discuss this, and we only have, this is a short show. It's a 30-minute show. So let's try to package as much as we can. You wanted to go and attend a public meeting of the executive council that you just talked about, 5 members, as well as the governor. And they were making the decision on whether or not to accept this $27 million coerced bribe in order to then implement policies that were clearly going to violate citizens' rights. Is that my, is that probably a good synopsis of how I should frame that? Okay.
Yeah.
And so you didn't like that, and you had, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So we all decided we were going to attend this meeting, which is within, it's a public meeting to observe how they're going to decision this. And, but we made a decision even outside. We prayed over it. We said, we're going to go in, we're going to be dead silent. We're not going to make any noise. We're just going to watch. They know how we feel about this, but we want to see the vote because we want to decide who we're going to primary and vote out of office. Like, we were determined to just go and sit quiet and see the vote happen.
And that is exactly what I observed in the video. And I, Mr. Producer, I sent you a video that is, I think it's about 13 or 15 minutes. We're not going to play the whole thing, but if we can at least get a little sense of what a silent, I don't even know if I can call it a protest, what a silent, total disdain and disgust, admonishment. You're not even getting to the threshold of exercising your First Amendment for them to go ahead and destroy it and silence you. You're just there. And the way I saw it, I'm not sure if you're one of them, but several members up front in that executive council meeting from the general public are in there. They stand up, turn around, and without a single sound whatsoever, stand there. And that was enough to trigger this stone cold, these are my words, by the way, the stone cold, toxic, feckless coward, Baby Sununu, is offended as a little victim because his citizens are trying to convey to him in the most peaceful, lawful, moral, ethical, and correct way to let him know that they do not accept his accepting of a bribe in order to take away citizens' freedoms and relinquish the sovereignty of New Hampshire to the tyrannical, illegitimate, lawless federal executive branch. You don't have to comment. That's my, those are my words.
Yeah, we were 1 hour into the meeting. There was a lot of emotion about children being vaccinated. I said, at any point, guys, your energy, your emotion, I'm a nurse, right? You feel like you want to say something. Let's just all stand up in solidarity and turn our backs to it to show them that, no, we're not okay with this. But be silent. And there's even a picture of me going like this to everyone to remind them we're staying silent. And yeah, you'll see in the video, I was tapped on the shoulder, brought to the back of the room. thank God I had just sent my two little boys outside, that they didn't have to see me zip tied and thrown in the back of a paddy wagon. And it just, it absolutely, to this day, is absolutely surreal that this happened.
Can we briefly pause right there? It's disgusting. That's what activated me in order to focus on New Hampshire. Absolutely disgusting. If I see Sununu in person, I will absolutely eviscerate him through my voice because he deserves it. That guy is an absolute scumbag for completely trampling on your First Amendment. Not even getting to that First Amendment. Total coward. Total absolute coward. And let's take a look. I want the audience to maybe take a look and see the decorum and the constraint, the level of professional constraint that you and the rest of the New Hampshire Nine exercised during that moment in time. I commend you. I mean, it is absolute. This is the fantastic manner in which you can essentially force change on total cowards. And when I say force, it's through absolute shaming, because you and I and everyone knows that they have the full power and weight and capacity of dozens of state police officers to attempt to intimidate you, but yet nonetheless, you're standing there without saying a word, and they know exactly that what they're doing is lawless, it's immoral, it's unethical, and yet they still continue to do it. Disgusting.
It's heartbreaking. Several have come to me after and asked for forgiveness. They've actually come to me and say, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm like, well, I'm 6 hearings in, $15,000 affected my career and my life. And you know what? I still go every 2 weeks to that meeting, even though I have to stand back, because I am not going to be chilled. This is too many of my forefathers, yourself included, that have fought.
Everyone else is a coward. You're one of the few that is totally courageous.
And we have to start doing.
Mr. Caleb, can you at least play a couple of minutes there in there as we see the New Hampshire, the courageous patriot New Hampshire Nine? Standing up and essentially turning their backs to baby, soon to be exiled and admonished and hopefully criminalized, Chris Sununu.
The lack of contracts in these areas and the lack of family planning services will have negative health consequences for those who need these services. It will result in increased unintended pregnancies, increased teen pregnancies, and negative births.
That's Chris Sununu right there.
That is likely.
With a smug face.
And, I understand that some counselors
reveling in how he's about to receive a $27 million bribe.
Information about these contracts. Have you answered all of the counselors' questions at this point?
We have answered all questions that have been asked to the department.
And then he sees people standing up,
okay, and still
completely
these contracts are not being brought back.
Admonishing him.
That is correct.
For about to vote on an illegal $27 million bribe by the federal government.
As part of 21 through 27F.
And if you can forward, if you can kind of skip forward to where they start conducting the arrests. And he's right there. He's texting. He's basically texting, trying to hide, but luckily someone videotaped it. He's texting the state police to go ahead and conduct arrests for people standing. That was what the text messages probably showed. Let's skip another couple minutes.
Required to do the upfront investment and then invoice the state afterwards their cost to set up programs. This is, I would say, pretty typical to have your costs reimbursed
there you
when
go.
You're setting up a new program.
He's
so
basically looking at his
on
phone,
payment,
which we can slow that down and see what kind of phone it is to determine which letters
way,
he's typing
they're going to, have their costs
to see what he's actually writing.
When they're setting up new programs,
we need to subpoena that.
People,
and if you can skip ahead. And
with a lot of upfront hardware,
there.
We pay for that hardware.
People are now being arrested. I don't hear any sounds. I don't hear any disruption. I hear absolutely nothing. And the video shows
it.
And these bootlickers are following the orders of
the
governor by arresting
during the initial conversation was that the council
and trying to intimidate folks
up front before they started the contract. So the way we strategized was that.
Yeah, if you can move a little bit forward, Caleb. All right, back up a little bit, about 30 seconds.
They're the charges!
What is wrong with you?
Why are they being arrested?
Stop it, they know they're arrested.
And so now people are asking, why are folks being arrested? And when they ask why someone is being arrested, they are also being arrested. Absolutely disgusting. We need to ruin all political aspirations of Sununu and anybody in his political ecosystem for doing this. Absolutely disgusting. This gets me so fired up, and hopefully you have my audio as well, Caleb, Mr. Producer, so that people can hear it on this episode. Woman with a four-year-old child in her hands asking why her husband is being arrested when he asked why the other person was being arrested. Everybody else is getting arrested. This is the tyrannical government that we've been warning about. And he just grabs an older lady. He was just sitting there silently. Political target list. Guess what? We're going to be coming after you, Deep State in New Hampshire. This is a message for Chris Sununu. We're coming for you. And we're coming for you when you least expect it, in the most legal, moral, and ethical way possible. We're not going to violate any rules like you do, because we have the moral high ground. All right. Go ahead and turn that off, please, Mr. Producer. That gets me fired up, maybe more than you, because.
Oh, trust me. It has been a catalyst. People are like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm like, don't be, because it has catapulted me.
I'm furious. I watched that. I'm absolutely furious. Everybody should be furious. He needs to be impeached immediately. And I was calling on his impeachment the day that happened. But guess what? The people that are in the state legislature are also compliant, toxic, stone-cold, feckless cowards, all of them. That's why I hope that this will after you are exonerated, and they're going to be – I think we're going to get to the level where hopefully we can get this really out there. We need to make sure that the case is dismissed, and then you need to really consider running and taking the seats in office from those individuals that are total stone-cold, toxic, feckless cowards, so that we can have somebody in office that is courageous. And then wouldn't it be so nice and sweet for you to go ahead and conduct your first motion and vote to impeach this scumbag?
So there's so much to this story, Ivan, but I'm just so grateful because the story has been stifled. It has not made it to media. And even people in New Hampshire, every time I use my debit card, I'm like, did you hear? So my criminal complaint gets better. My criminal complaint, they could not tell me why they were arresting me out back. 2 weeks later, I get the criminal complaint, and I kid you not, I'll give you the documentation. It's, quote, I recklessly uttered amen. And the only discovery they had is a state trooper saying he heard someone say amen, and it came from my direction, and he recognized my voice from Facebook.
Okay, let's parse that down. So you were in agreement with the statement being made, and you, not loudly, you said the words amen, and for that you were arrested. And what was the charge?
Disorderly conduct. Allegedly,
disorderly conduct.
There's no evidence that I even said it.
For allegedly you saying the sound amen. That sounds to me like the state is going after someone, even if the allegation is true, that individual is essentially not able to exercise their First Amendment in multiple ways. You're triggering a religious component to the First Amendment, right? Freedom of religion. And you're also triggering
my freedom to speech, my freedom to religion, due process. I mean, it's like all five of my first were violated.
So, hey, New Hampshire, and this message I want to say next to 20 seconds is to New Hampshire voters and residents that voted for anybody but the Chinese Communist Party ambassador currently squatting in the White House. in the primary of 2020. So if you happen to vote for Bernie Sanders, for Andrew Yang, for Tulsi Gabbard, for Pete Buttigieg, for Amy Klobuchar, for Elizabeth Warren, go down the list. If you voted for any of those, you need to be on our side because you have a First Amendment that I want you to have just as much as anybody else. And this represents, Sununu represents the same wing of the Uniparty that wants to silence you. If you're interested, I don't care if you're interested voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. next year or this guy, what's his name? This new guy just came out. A couple other candidates just came out to run. These are people that are outside of the established political order that are trying to expose the corruption. And this is the corruption that we're talking about. When you get to a point where you can't even express your ideas in a silent way because they create this CCP-19 bio release, if you will, from the lab incident that makes it so that you can't even in person communicate with your representatives. And when you actually have the opportunity to do so and you allegedly utter an agreement, the term amen, and are criminalized for it, guess what? That's unacceptable. I think that's unacceptable to everybody. And so with that, I'm going to have to give you the last word.
Well, the reality is people keep saying that's not constitutional. And I said, that's because nobody's recognizing the Constitution right now. Well, what about the judges? You know, you'll have your day in court. All of our courts are completely corrupted because the executive council are the five that appoint them. And Gordon McDonald's the chief justice. And he was Sununu's personal attorney. So I have no redress of grievances. It's all corrupt. It's all.
When is your court date? Because you know what? I'm going to try to make it up there and I'm going to ask others too, because I think it's open to the public, right?
Yes. And my trial is going to be June 27th. I've had six hearings, but my trial date is June 27th. But the executive council has got to be, we need to cut the head off the snake here in New Hampshire because everyone's just afraid of him. They're, you know, I'm going to have to work with him. So they keep silent. People who have big spheres of influence that could shepherd people to freedom versus into bondage is the way I'm looking at it. So, you know, I put out a whole project plan and you know what, the grassroots conservatives, we're going to go get it because I didn't work so 7 years to get these boys out of DCYF care to let them not have a republic and a freedom. So people have said, T, you need to get out of the state. Your life is in danger. And, you know, you don't realize what you're going up against. And I said, you know what? There's worse things than death. And I am not going to be part of something that enables or facilitates the loss of this country. And, you know, I'm willing to put it all on the line to do that.
Well, to close out, New Hampshire has a very strong motto that everybody throughout the nation needs to remember. And I'm going to say it so that you don't have to. It is live free or die. Okay. And guess what, Governor Sununu? I think we're going to have to provide a little bit of support to the grassroots patriots in New Hampshire to expose you. And then by extension, we're going to be exposing your beloved leader that you take orders and direction and influence from, Mikey Pence, the stone cold toxic coward of which you emulate as his little mentee. So for those that are watching, please join me. I'm going to make plans to be up there on June 27th. And I'm looking forward to it. Let's continue this conversation.
Thank you so much, Ivan.
Absolutely.
I keep saying, Lord, when are you going to use this for good? Because when I saw the criminal complaint, I was like, oh, this is definitely the next chapter of my story. What are you doing to me? But I knew his timing would be perfect. It's just hard in the waiting sometimes.
Don't worry. This is going to turn out for the good. It's going to turn out good. All right. With that, the Raiklin Report's done. Have a nice weekend. We'll stay on this story as things develop.